Welcome, everyone, to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. My name is Chris Short. Joining me, as always, is Jake Barnett, and we are here for your WWE SmackDown audio review. Jake and I do this every weekend for you guys. We look at WWE SmackDown and talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, but we also do different audio here on the site every week. The difference, though, is that audio is primarily for our members only. Jason Powell does the same thing we do, but he does it with WWE Raw, as does Will Pruitt with TNA Impact Wrestling. Jake and Will get together every week for the .NET Countdown, where they look at the best and the worst in wrestling each week. Jason does a Q&A audio on Fridays, where members can ask both wrestling and non-wrestling questions. And then Jason and I get together every Thursday for .NET Weekly. We call it our flagship audio show. We look at all the news of the week. This week, a very long show previewing the Royal Rumble and talking about, you know, just who we expect to see in that match, some surprises, who our winners are, as well as the other matches on the card. And Jason and I will be reviewing that show Sunday night as well, exclusive to our members. So if you want to get access to this week's .NET Weekly and the upcoming show Sunday night after the Royal Rumble, you need to become a .NET member. Just head on over to ProWrestling.net, click on the right-hand side of the page where it says .NET member sign up, and we will get you started for just $7.50 a month, not $2 off each month if you want to take the annual option. And you will get access to all the audio, be able to enjoy the Royal Rumble with us on the ad-free version of the site, talk about it with the members in the .NET member forum, and blog about it in our blog section. It's a good time to be a member, folks. WrestleMania season is in high gear. It is the Royal Rumble this Sunday. Jay, let me bring you in right now. This was WWE's last chance to sell the Royal Rumble. So the first question I want to ask you is, did WWE do enough in this show, or maybe not enough, let me rephrase the question. Did WWE move your needle of excitement any with this show? Are you more excited for the Rumble than you were before SmackDown?
You know, I actually enjoyed the CM Punk and Rock segment on SmackDown more than I did their encounter on Raw. So just for that reason alone, I'll say that it did move the needle for me. I really liked what they've been doing with The Rock and Punk, and I like that they've managed to keep them apart physically as much as possible. And they did have a pretty good kind of point, counterpoint type promo, you know, tonight where Punk spoke for quite a long time, and then The Rock just kind of came out and rebutted him, and I thought it worked pretty well. So, you know, they did manage to plug, you know, a few other matches on the show. You know, I did think the conclusion to the show was very good. Big Show has been a lot better in this role as the monster heel than he was, you know, kind of doing the scaredy cat thing with Sheamus. So, yeah, I really do think those two matches have, you know, I'm attracted to both of them. I think they're both interesting to me. The Rumble match itself, not so much. I mean, I really don't have any kind of anticipation of that other than, you know, just the standard, you know, Royal Rumble fare. I don't think they've done anything to make that feel any more special this year than any other years past. So, but the title matches have been, you know, have been really excellent thus far.
Yeah, I don't know that you could have asked WWE to do more with the show. I really don't. I think expecting them to do more with the show would be wildly selfish and really not in touch with reality when you look at what they had done leading up to this point. You know, I mean, obviously you would want, okay, if there's something bigger that's before this, and this can, you know, add on top of it. But it's been a muted build for the Rumble match itself, as you mentioned. The title matches have been done very well, and they did everything they could with this one. I got to say, though, just real quick, throwing this here real fast, the Rock-Punk segment, you're right, fantastic in each other's faces. They were physically apart, but in each other's faces, Rock, you know, basically leaving it, I'm going to kick your ass, it's going to be over, as he put it, come Royal Rumble. Are you a little surprised we got that on SmackDown and what we got, you know, with Raw, they were away from each other, Punk up in the box and whatnot. Are you surprised we got the face-to-face on SmackDown and not Raw?
Yeah, I mean, that did surprise me a bit. I guess I'm kind of glad because I covered the show and it was much more interesting than what we got on Raw. But you know, it really was a better segment, and they've managed to pace this pretty well. I mean, they've had The Rock on SmackDown quite a bit promoting this storyline, and they've had CM Punk on SmackDown quite a bit promoting this. So I think, you know, there's no reason not to assume they were going to give us something, but I did not anticipate it would be as intense as it was, and even live. I mean, generally, you know, the final push for these title matches is just on a video packages. So this was really nice, and I'm surprised they did not promote it more, but that seems to be kind of par for the course.
Yeah, even reading the spoilers, you know, and we had good detailed spoilers, but it was more than I thought. Even after reading the spoilers, we got a whole lot more than I thought we were going to get from Punk and Rock. It was very good, and like I said, the close of the show, Big Show, quite frankly, was fantastic there. I mean, at the very end, after he's knocked out Del Rio, and we'll talk about, you know, the matches and everything as we go through the show, but at the very end, he knocks out Del Rio, pushes the table on top of him, just like Del Rio did to him a couple of weeks ago when he won the World Championship. Big Show pushes the table over, counts to 10, and then does it a second time in Spanish, and really puts some acting chops into this. I mean, he when he got to 9, he said, "Nueve," real big, and then "Yes," and just kind of dismissive and walked off as he did it. Big Show was really, really, really good here. It kind of caught me off guard a little bit. I was real impressed with this show, and I know you liked the ending as well, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Big Show was great, and I think I like this a lot more than what they managed to do, you know, dramatically at least with Sheamus and the Big Show. You know, they had those silly, kind of clownish segments to start it with the punching bag and the computer and everything else, and that really didn't do anything for me. And then, you know, once they had that really good match together, that feud picked up. But you know, we never really got to see Big Show in the kind of dominant role that I think he excels at, and what they're doing with him and Del Rio here showcases that a lot more, and I think Del Rio's got a lot of natural charisma as a babyface, and you see that because he's getting huge reactions everywhere. So I actually kind of like what they're doing here. I don't know if since they're going last man standing again, if the repeat of the match is going to feel as exciting as the original, but I've enjoyed the story that got us there anyway.
You mentioned Alberto Del Rio getting a huge reaction, and we're getting, you know, conflicting reports. We've had some house shows where we've heard from our correspondents who said, "Wow, I mean, he blew the place away. People were jacked up for him." Other places, they've said, "Not so much." On this show, unbelievable response. I mean, I was kind of half watching at the very beginning because it was the opening segment was the typical setup for a 6-man tag that we had at the end, and you can about see those in your sleep at this point, but when Del Rio's music hit and that place popped, and we looked before we started recording, you know, Sacramento, where this was taped, about 27% Hispanic, so not a, you know, percentage-wise, not a gigantic Hispanic population in Sacramento. So, I don't know that it was piped in. Certainly it could be, but there wasn't any hard evidence that it was. Of course, there wasn't any hard evidence that it wasn't. But I will say at the end, after he got the win in the 6-man match, they showed a lot of people, and even a bunch of, there was one shot in particular that had like 4 white frat college guys, you know, who were just up there drunk having a good time. And they were partying hard too. So I don't know if they're pumping it in or not, but it sure did look like he got a great response out of Sacramento. Jason and I talked about this in .NET Weekly. I'm a little done with the fact that he's Mexican and them cramming that down our throat with the tie and the bucket and the scarf and the yada, 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 the flag and so on and so forth. But he's really succeeding in getting over here, isn't he?
Yes, and I guess I'm not as irritated by the ethnic stuff as, I originally was when Big Show first kind of really instigated it, I guess, by, you know, talking about him not wanting the Hispanics in the audience who were beneath him to have a hero. And, you know, they've really kind of played up that in this recent tour, which has, I mean, admittedly been in the Southwest of the United States, and so, you know, if you're going to run a storyline that appealed to Hispanics, that's probably the place to do it.
Sure.
And it's been fairly successful, and they've been a lot more nuanced with it than I would have normally thought they would be. Big Show has been a lot like the type of people I would say that Hispanics would hate, which is not outright racist, but be someone who is utterly dismissive of their culture and what they offer to America. And Del Rio has been the traditional kind of baby-faced luchador Mexican hero who would appeal to that audience. And so I thought thus far the storyline has been a lot better than I would have expected, and a lot more care has been given to crafting it for that audience than I would have given WWE credit for. So in that respect, I think it's been really successful.
We will pick your brain for some of your Rumble predictions as we go through the show. I'm not going to have you give them all, because I know you'll be doing a preview predictions article that will be up Sunday. So, but real quick, before we move into the show itself, who wins the World Heavyweight Championship? Or maybe a better question, who leaves the Royal Rumble pay-per-view as the World Heavyweight Champion? Is it Big Show? Is it Alberto Del Rio? Or is it Dolph Ziggler?
You know, I mean, they've given Dolph Ziggler the, you know, he has the briefcase, and now he has the ability to choose his entry into the Royal Rumble. So I think there's a lot of possibilities.
Well, he can choose one or two, which is the same thing. I mean, I saw that Vicky screwed him on that. So.
Oh, I must have missed that. I'm sorry. I thought he could choose one or two. I missed that part. So I guess that's not as much of an advantage as I was originally thinking. So my point is much negated, but... you know, there's still a lot of interesting things they can do with him as far as the briefcase is concerned. I never expected him to actually win the Rumble because it would seem too obvious. But, you know, I think it's going to lead into that chamber match. And so I would assume we're going to find a way that all three guys come out of this looking pretty good. But I'm assuming, you know, and my prediction is that Ziggler walks out with the belt and goes into Elimination Chamber with a lot of people not very happy with him.
Yeah, Jason makes some good points on this, and my thing is, you've got that pre-championship beatdown. You know, when they put the championship on a guy for the first time, and yes, he was the world champion for like 35 minutes or whatever, but this would be his first real run when he gets in it. Every time they put one on guys like that, they seem to give him that pre-beatdown where they just make him look as bad as possible, and they give him the belt and can't understand why they can't get over. So he feels like he's had that pre-beatdown from John Cena all this time. I think I'm with you on this for Dolph Ziggler. Well, we will see Sunday night. Jason Palik and I, again, will have coverage for you Sunday night of the Royal Rumble from pre-show all the way through to the end. But right now, Jay, let's talk about this SmackDown show. It was taped on January the 22nd in Sacramento, California, aired on the 25th of January. We get the opening video that recaps the Shield attack on The Rock from Raw on Monday, and what happened with Punk and Vince from there about stripping him of the title, as well as a little bit of a hype for Big Show and Alberto Del Rio. From there, we go into Kane's music and Daniel Bryan making their entrance. We get a clip of the Hug Fest from Monday that .NET staffer Will Pruitt thought was the greatest thing ever. I haven't had a chance to listen to the countdown. You guys talk about that this week because I wanted to choke him out.
Yeah, he was a little bit over the top with it. I didn't have like an immediate revulsion to it. I didn't think it was bad, but it was definitely in line with that story. So if you've enjoyed that so far, you would have loved that segment, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was going to listen to it, but I don't know if I can now. I've just been in the vomit. But anyway, Kane said they were out there to talk about the fact that people said they were going soft, when in fact they had learned how to channel their anger. He said nothing could be further from the truth about them being soft, because they were going to defeat Team Rhodes Scholars and retain the titles. And then he would go on to eliminate person after person to win the Royal Rumble match and go on to headline WrestleMania. Daniel Bryan said, Kane, I don't think that's how it's going to work. And Kane started running down all the things that he had done, you know, owning the record for the most people eliminated in one
11 people out of one Rumble.
Yeah, most people in one Rumble. And I think total people eliminated, he had two. But he ran through those things. Bryan said, well, yeah, that's great, but you've never actually won a Rumble, which is what he was going to do on Sunday, which, of course, led it, you know, had it break down to an argument between those two. Big Show's music hits to cut them off. Show comes out and says, nobody cares about your plan, talking to Kane. He said they only have a 1 in 30 chance of winning the Rumble, while he has a 100% chance of winning the World Heavyweight Championship. He said that if either of them win the Rumble and make the choice to face him at WrestleMania, Big Show, it would be the worst decision they ever made. Bryan reminded Show that he beat him for the world title at that point. Show said, I'm not taking any of your crap tonight. He started running down Del Rio for, he said, I'm going to get my title back because he stole it from me. He didn't win it, he stole it, that sort of thing. He snuck into the World Championship picture like a cockroach sneaking over the border, and he was going to squash the cockroach at the Royal Rumble. At that point, Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes come out. They said that Daniel Bryan and Kane should be focused on them, and so what they should do is make a team or form an alliance with the Big Show. Big Show didn't seem interested at first, and they said, no, we won't destroy Team Hell No. Big Show seemed interested in that. That's when we got Del Rio's music and the very surprising large pop for him from that crowd. They were really into him. He ran out and pretty much sort of broke it up at that point. Booker T's music hits. No big surprise here. Booker comes out, books the six-man main event as we go into commercial from there. You know, it's one of those opening segments where it's like nobody was bad, nobody was great. It's a little bit uninspiring because we've seen this gimmick so many times where everybody ends up in the ring and it's a six-man match. So it's kind of a paint-by-numbers thing, but it wasn't bad.
No. As a matter of fact, I thought Big Show kind of stood out here. I thought he did well. And part of the reason I think Del Rio got as big of a pop as he did is because Big Show was, pretty perfectly condescending in his promo. So I thought it was pretty good. Bryan and Kane, they are what they are at this point. They've pretty much extracted all of the interesting things they can extract out of them as a team. So I'm hoping mercifully that we'll see the titles moved on Sunday. But, this was a good opening segment. I thought it set the pace for the rest of the show, and then they had a pretty decent main event to follow it up with. Excuse me.
Yeah, I agree. Big Show was good here. Maybe it's probably fair that I wasn't plugged in as hard on this segment as I was on the parts of the show, simply because it's like I said, it's one of those things we see all the time. It's you see it at every house show, you see it at the start of almost every SmackDown, where you have this opening segment, this opening talking segment where multiple people end up in the ring, and you either end up with a six-man match or a tag match and a singles match or some weird combination of the four to six people who are in the ring plugged in into matches. And it's, I don't know, I expect better from SmackDown at this point because it's televised. And it just seems the cheap way out. But again, it wasn't bad. I'm not telling people not to watch this. It was actually pretty good, certainly for Big Show, as you said. From there, we went to commercial. We had some hyping of CM Punk calling out The Shield later and The Rock commenting on what happened with The Shield later as well. After the commercial break, we got a replay of the Beat the Clock Challenge from Raw on Monday, and that led to our first match of the night, Sheamus beating Wade Barrett clean at 11 minutes and 50 seconds, and I mean clean. He hit him with the White Noise, Jake, backed up in the corner, beat on his chest, hit him with a bro kick, 1-2-3. That's your Intercontinental Champion right there. I understand that Sheamus might be above the Intercontinental Championship, but was there really a need for him to win super duper clean going into the Rumble?
Yeah, especially after they had Orton drop a match to Barrett like literally a week or two ago, clean on Raw. It's fairly surprising to see Sheamus go over so strongly here. And I put in my report that he really didn't need it. There's really no need. Nobody, even if he would have lost this match in some screwy fashion, he wouldn't have lost anything. So it was kind of baffling to me in that sense, especially with the completely contrived finish where Barrett just looked like a moron walking right into a bro kick. It wasn't even like it looked competitive at the end, so very bizarre. But I guess being that it's right in front of a pay-per-view and we have a show coming up on Sunday, maybe they'll give Barrett some of it back and he won't look like such a clown.
Yeah, and I think Barrett's gonna do well on Sunday, so I'm not too much worried about it. But it just seems strange to give him the big clean win like he got. And as you said, if you get Barrett that goes over Orton recently, and that's a big win for him, and he just kind of gives it back to Sheamus, and they're building. We're almost positive to a Sheamus and Orton feud somewhere in the very near future. So why make the guy that beat Orton job out to Sheamus and make Sheamus look better? It's just so very strange, especially when we see what happens later in the show with Orton and 3MB as a kind of an other side of the coin to Sheamus and 3MB from either last week or on Raw Monday. But a good match. I mean, you would agree with that. I mean, they both these guys can work, and it was a good match, but just a strange decision on the finish, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, the match was fine. I mean, they both got in a lot of their typical spots. I mean, Wade Barrett hit a very rare drop kick early on in the match that kind of caught me off guard and looked really good. So I hope he uses that more often. But, there's nothing to really complain about as far as the match is concerned. I mean, it was just a very strange finish considering the trajectory I thought they had Barrett on. I thought at least they tried to protect him in some manner. But it was basically a finish you would have expected at a house show or something.
After this, we got some meta television. We had a replay of a replay. We had a small recap of what happened between Punk and Rock on Monday to start the show. And then we get more of it here from those guys. And then Punk and Heyman were shown backstage. Natty makes her ring entrance. This was kind of the theme of the night. We're going to see this again after the actual big Rock and Punk segment, Jake. They like replaying replays all of a sudden.
Yeah, I don't really understand it. You know, it's kind of insulting to a viewer's intelligence. I mean, it's like you literally just watch that. Like, I do not need to see that repeated again. You know, it seems like WWE operates under the assumption that nobody watches the show can remember anything through a commercial break, and so that, you know, it seems like a lot of their planning and the structure of their production is based around that. Or, you know, they think people are continuously tuning in throughout the show, and I mean maybe some of that's happening, and maybe you get channel flippers or something, but it's just so bizarre. It just kind of makes the whole thing feel kind of disjointed in a way.
Yeah, I don't. It's something they've done for quite some time now, and I've never understood it. But from there, we went to Natalya making her ring entrance, dancing in the ring. After the commercial, we had Rosa in the ring doing her dancing and gyrating. For our second match, Natalya defeating Rosa 2 minutes and 38 seconds. Natty won with a sharpshooter. Hornswoggle, or let me back up a little bit. You get Hornswoggle and Kali, as well as Primo and Epico, joining the announce teams. You got six guys out there. Five of them can speak English. One of them can't. JBL even asked at one point during the match when Kali was talking to him to get some subtitles. You had Rosa that hits some big move. She starts to dance. Hornswoggle jumps up on the announce table and starts wiggling like her. That distracts her, which allows Natty to roll her over and hit and hook on the sharpshooter for the submission victory. I don't get it. What are they doing with these guys? I don't understand what they're doing here.
Yeah, I just watched the show, we're going on a couple hours ago. I cannot remember one thing anybody said on commentary during this match. Not one thing. Like, they had all four of those guys sitting in on commentary, and I don't remember one thing that was said. I mean, it's just, like, utterly pointless television.
At one point, Kali said,
and he was the most intelligible out of all of them. But the women in the ring, I must admit, I had a kind of a family thing happen during the match, so I kind of was half paying attention and half not. But, from what I saw, it looked pretty basic. And then the distraction, by Hornswoggle was so bizarre. And poor Natalya, I mean, geez, she's probably one of the top five women's wrestlers in the world as far as people who are able to work. And she's winning matches against glorified dancers at, via roll-up. I mean, it's just like, man, they can't think of anything for their women to do that can actually work. It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, she's probably the best on the roster as far as the current roster. There might be some girls in FCW or in NXT now, I'm sorry, that could ultimately be better than her. But certainly on the active roster, she's the best they've got, I would think. And, this is what they're doing. And the strange part is that it doesn't make any sense what the hell they're doing. You've got Primo and Epico, who are a tag team. You've got Hornswoggle and Kali, who shouldn't be a tag team. I don't want them hanging out together. And I don't want them teaming in matches that don't mean anything, but it's not like they're a tag team in the tag team division. And then you just have the women. It's like they're just, here we've got these six random people, and look, each shit happens to have a chick, so we'll just put them together. That seems to be the total thought process put into these segments with Primo, Epico, Rosa, and then Natalya, Kali, and Hornswoggle. That, to me, that's what's the most frustrating about it. What was not frustrating was what we got next. CM Punk and Paul Heyman making their way to the ring. Punk opened up and said that he was scared. He was terrified. He was frightened so bad, in fact, that he couldn't sleep at night. He said that what he was afraid of was his own potential. He said that all that he's accomplished is just scratching the surface of what he's able to do. He talked about his time of running being 432 days. But he said, but there was one thing that could end that. It wasn't the rock. It was the shield. He said, because the shield and their actions, their independent actions, as he called them, he was given a letter from the WWE chairman himself. Heyman read the letter, and it just basically said what we already knew. CM Punk would be stripped of the championship if the shield gets involved with a match at the Royal Rumble. Punk said that the chairman would do what no other wrestler could do in 432 days. He wanted to steal the title. So now he had a problem. Punk had a problem. He said he would do what no one had the stones to do since they debuted. He called out the shield. He demanded they come to the ring so they could handle this situation. And he grabbed the chair and put it in the ring to protect himself. Well, the shield walked down, and Punk had originally set up the chair, but he grabbed the chair and then held it as a weapon. They all climbed up around the apron like they were going to do the attack gimmick. Punk still had the mic. He said that he was going to explain himself in the simplest way possible. He had never asked them to do anything. He wasn't going to ask them to do anything. He never asked them to attack Rock or Ryback, and he wanted them to stay away if they really were about fighting injustice. If that was really what they were all about, then they would not create injustice by interfering and causing him to be stripped of his championship. He said that beating The Rock would be the biggest win of his career, and he wanted to do it by himself. He said he didn't need their help because he was the best in the world. But repeated what he said about if they really, you know, wanted justice, then they would leave him alone. Shield looked at each other, dropped back down, climbed back over the retaining wall, and headed back out to the crowd like they do. Punk said that's exactly how the champ takes care of business. He doesn't whine or complain. He just takes his problems straight on. He said The Rock was great, even the great one, but he is the best in the world and the greatest of all time. He kept doing that over and over. The greatest of all time, the greatest of all time, the greatest. The Rock's music hits to cut him off. He starts down to the ring. He does the turnbuckle gimmick. He gets in the ring, gets right in Punk's face. And this is what we were talking about earlier. We were kind of surprised. If you haven't seen it, this is face-to-face-to-face stuff. And Rock gave the delivery that I wanted the first night when he was all shtick. It's, you know, I I'm not, you know, bagging on people that like the shtick. That's your thing. It's not for me. I want something a little more serious. This is what I wanted to see from The Rock, at least in his interactions with CM Punk. He said he just smiled. He said he was going to put an end to Punk's garbage right now. He called him a liar and said that he knew that he had the shield working for him. He said he doesn't give a damn, though, because on Sunday his boot is going to be shoved up Punk's candy ass. They let the fans cheer that out for a moment. Rock asked Punk if he felt the walls closing in. He said on Sunday Punk would panic and he was going to crack, and when he did, because his WWE title reign would be over. He said he would hit him with a rock bottom, did a 1-2-3, it'll be 1-2-3, and then again over. He repeated the word over probably 3 or 4 times to get that over, no pun intended. And then he closed very calmly, not in the loud braggadocio way that normally does, just very calmly, if you smell what The Rock is cooking. He dropped the mic, stepped out of the ring, big applause from the crowd. Punk left standing there looking, upset, going to commercial break. Great, 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 great segment. I would argue for me personally, because I'm not as big a fan of Rock shtick, I think this was the best that they had of their interactions. I know the first one was very, very good, but I thought Rock had too much shtick. I thought that Rock actually suffered a little bit too from commentary giggling at some of his stuff and making him look like a schmuck instead of, you know, being, you know, that sarcastic wise ass. He just looked like, you know, a tool because these guys are out there with their silly giggling. Nobody said anything here for the announcement. They laid out. So for me, this was the best of the build that they had. I'm curious where you rate it.
Yeah, it was definitely my favorite segment, and the reason why I think is because they didn't bloviate a whole lot. Their first segment to me, too many words. It went on too long. They ended up going off into territory that kind of deviated from what I thought was interesting. You know, the Rock's humor, kind of was all over the place, and and I thought Punk, you know, while he was better than The Rock, is not the best that he had been. And this is definitely, you know, they both really hit on all the right notes here. And I think The Rock, with his final real intense promo, kind of sent the message, at least, you know, to the fans in attendance and to the television audience, that he was, you know, serious and that he was still capable of, you know, being a real intense in-ring competitor. And that's kind of what he needed to convey. I mean, everybody understood that he's a fantastic entertainer, but I think, you know, the segment on Monday where he, you know, he showed that he was willing to show some vulnerability, and here, you know, where he kind of reinstated his confidence, I think there were good, you know, build segments for his returning character that were necessary. So this was definitely my favorite moment. I think Punk's been fantastic at antagonizing, and this was, you know, The Rock's moment to kind of put a, you know, at the end of the segment, you kind of saw on Punk's face that he was reflecting, and it was good because The Rock looked confident and Punk looked a little shaken, and that was a huge contrast from, you know, where they were 4 weeks ago, where Punk seemed supremely confident and The Rock was not. So this was good.
Yeah, and just to clear up something I said earlier, that we talked about earlier, about being surprised that this was on SmackDown as opposed to Raw. Obviously, this made sense in the way they played it out, that Rock got beat up by the Shield on Monday, this man issues his order, then Punk has to settle it, and that's how it plays out. I'm not surprised in that sense. I just, on the front end of this, if you had said the go-home week for the Royal Rumble, there will be two moments where Rock and Punk are together. In one, Rock will be in the ring and Punk will be in a luxury box. In the other, they'll be face-to-face. Where do you think each one will go? I think all of us would have been on the face-to-face being on Raw, just because it's, you know, usually the bigger, it's the A-show, and that's where you usually see the bigger things like that. This was a nice moment. It's the last thing we got to see from those two before going into the Rumble. Really smart move from them there. And I'll go ahead and put you on the spot right here. This is the only other hard prediction I'm going to have you give me. We'll talk about the Rumble match at the end, but who walks out of Royal Rumble WWE Champion? Does CM Punk retain, or is this where Rock wins?
I get the feeling that this is where Rock wins. I think they're going to want to dive into their WrestleMania story right away, you know, with whoever that's going to be on Monday. I'm assuming they're going to try to put The Rock and Cena back together, and maybe I'm wrong, but my prediction is that The Rock walks out with the title.
There you have it, folks. I am there as well, but we'll talk more about the Rumble certainly on Sunday in our premium prediction article. Let's go on with SmackDown from here. From here we get, I talked about this earlier, that anything you can do, I can do better thing that seems to be going on with Randy Orton and Sheamus, that's kind of subliminally being done. It's not so overt about it. I guess it was Monday. Either Monday we saw a replay or it happened on Monday. I can't remember. It's all starting to run together because these guys suck. But you get Sheamus killing all three. I guess it was last week on SmackDown. They replayed it on Monday. Sheamus killing all three guys of 3MB, hitting bro kicks on all of them. And after we get that great Punk and Rock segment, we come back from commercial. 3MB's in the ring, and we get Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre. It ends in a DQ, Randy Orton winning at a minute and 7 seconds because Jinder Mahal interfered almost immediately, as you can see, with a minute and 7 seconds. And then what happens? Randy Orton hits RKOs on all of them and wrote DDTs on at least two, if not all three of them. I can't really remember. I have to say, I give them a hard time for not, you know, creating continuum. And this is smart in the sense of they're creating that kind of subliminal, like I said, anything you can do, I can do better scenario. But that means we have to see the 3MB again, Jake, and I hate those guys. It's funny, I like the three guys. I just hate the gimmick.
Yeah, I mean, it's rare that you see guys so committed to just a shit gimmick, but they really, you know, they've really kind of put the effort into this, and it still surprises me. I mean, they were pretty entertaining at a house show I was at recently, too, so I have to give them credit for that, but it is awful, and I think the fact that they're just kind of cannon fodder at this point kind of proves that. I mean, they're not to be taken seriously, and, you know, just get your laughs out of them, and if you can't even laugh at them, if you're so disgusted, I guess you're kind of stuck, but I can at least still laugh at them, and that's kind of what I did here.
And then after commercial, we got about as an exciting segment as the one before it. Primetime Players in the Ring, Antonio Cesaro joins the commentary team, puts over his match with Miz on the pre-show for Sunday's Royal Rumble, and that led to our fourth match, Miz defeating Darren Young in 2 minutes and 2 seconds. Miz winning with a figure four that at least didn't suck. I don't know that it was the great figure four, but at least it wasn't that god-awful thing that he did on Monday that... And it was so funny because obviously I follow so many guys on Twitter, so many wrestlers on Twitter because of what we do. People everywhere were hating on that figure four. Indie wrestlers, TNA guys, I mean, people everywhere, WWE guys, were hating on that figure four. Worst figure four I've ever seen. Miz managed to put on one here that at least looks somewhat believable, and Darren Young tapped out, and that led to Cesaro standing on the standing up and waving the flag, and he and Miz jawing a little bit. I this match is probably going to be pretty good. It'll probably be the best pre-show match we ever had. But I swear, Miz is in such a bad place right now. It was a bad babyface turn. They've not really established him as a character you want to cheer for. They gave him Ric Flair and Ric Flair's move, and then he screws it up. He reminds me right now of the heel that he was before he broke out and people, you know, he was given an opportunity or people going, he sucks, he's, you know, he just doesn't have it or whatever. For the first time in a long time, he's back in that sphere for me.
Yeah, it's kind of strange how he's kind of come full circle like that. There was a period where I really thought he was one of the best things going in WWE, and it wasn't that long ago. So it's kind of surprising to see him back where he is now. It really is bad storytelling. I mean, it's not necessarily his ability. I think he still has it. It's just a matter of finding a story that really motivates him. And the Nature Boy saying, I don't know, I still don't know what to think about it. I mean, the figure four thing was brutal, as you mentioned. It just doesn't seem to fit his character. To be fair, Ric Flair was never super fantastic as a babyface anyway. But I don't know. It doesn't fit for me. I mean, hopefully they'll move on after this match with Cesaro. I don't know what they're doing. But if this continues on another month, it's going to be pretty tough to watch.
We got the Royal Rumble video after that, the one that's always so much fun, the by-the-numbers thing for the Royal Rumble. And that led to our fifth and final match of the night, the six-man main event. It was an elimination match. I forgot to say that earlier. Alberto Del Rio was the sole survivor. He eliminated Team Road Scholars and Big Show at 13 minutes and 6 seconds. Look back through your report here, see if I can get the order, the elimination. Sandow was out very quickly at 2:15.
Kane
got counted out at 4 minutes going into the right before the commercial break. And then Brian got knocked out at 9 minutes and 19 seconds. That left Del Rio with both Big Show and with Cody Rhodes. Del Rio hit a kick that sent Big Show to the floor. He got counted out. And then Cody Rhodes took one of his step-up enziguri for the pinfall and get a big pop from the crowd. Fun match. Elimination matches, I'm a personal fan of. I think they're fun to watch play out. So this, at least for me, this match was better than the standard six-man with the elimination stipulation added in. But again, as we talked about, the story here is not the match, which you should see if you get an opportunity. It's what happens afterwards. You've got Del Rio celebrating. Big Show hits the ring, spears him, drags him from the ring, punches him, knocks him out behind the announce table, dumps the announce table over, does the double count again in English and then Spanish, and walks off. We talked a lot about the ending there at the start of the show, but the match itself, I mean, would you agree, is a good match? I mean, not one you're going to talk about for even a day, but, it's worth the 15 minutes to sit through.
Yeah, no, I thought the action was good. It's the first time I think I've ever seen on the show immediately before a pay-per-view with a last man standing match that they have 5 10 counts in the main event. They had 3 count outs in the match, and then the Big Show counted the 10 twice after. I can't imagine that crowd not being fatigued with that by the time they left the building. But it was an all right match. I mean, it was good to watch. I mean, all of the competitors got in a couple of minutes offense anyway, and they all, Brian is still pretty over, it would seem. You know, Kane is a little bit less so, but I think Team Road Scholars, you know, they get decent heat, and Cody's mustache still gets a chant. Big Show looked great, and Del Rio sold everything extremely well. I thought he did a really great job of selling the knockout punch on the outside.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was a good match, and then the post match was even better, so it was a good close to the show.
Yeah, and again, a good SmackDown, one worth sitting through if you haven't done so. Skip through the Randy Orton 3MB stuff and the Miz Cesaro stuff, and you can skip the women's match too, but everything else, you know, let it play out for the most part. And certainly that Punk and Rock talking segment, if you haven't seen that, run to YouTube now, find it, watch it. It was a lot of fun. Jay, before we get out of here, I'm going to put you on the spot. It's this Sunday. It's the Royal Rumble. The winner gets a shot at a championship at WrestleMania. I'm not going to ask you who your winner is. I'll let you save that for your article on Sunday. But give me your top three guys that you would expect to win.
I think Cena is one, Sheamus two, and I'll pick a wild card and say Daniel Bryan for the third. You know, just because it, I think beyond those first two, I think Cena and Sheamus seem to be the two favorites for me. And I know Sheamus just won last year and Cena's won previously, but I think those two seem to be in alignment to get a shot. And we'll see what happens, but I really can't give you a definitive answer. I mean, it seems so wide open, and just but from a storyline perspective, I got to favor those two as being my odds-on favorites.
Any possibility? Jason Powell's favorite pick right now is Ryback. Do you think he's got anything there?
You know, it's possible. I mean, it could be that Big Show walks out of the out of the show with the World Heavyweight Championship, and we don't get the cash in that we expect. And I think Ryback would be an ideal competitor for him, at least from a storyline perspective, having the muscle bound guy going after the giant. I think WWE's done that before and had success with it, so it makes sense to me, especially if they really want to establish Ryback. You know, I think Big Show is pretty hot being the monster heel right now, from and he was great just on SmackDown here, so it would be a good option. I guess I don't expect it, but I think it's a good option.
And last question, give me one surprise entrant that you expect and one surprise entrant that you hope.
I expect to see Christian coming back from injury. I know I've read that he's pretty close, just on rumors and whatnot. And I hope we see Mark Henry, because I really kind of miss his presence on the show.
Any chance you think Mark Henry returns and wins the Rumble?
I couldn't see it happening. I don't know. I mean, I would be ecstatic, because I think you and I were both really fond of what he was doing prior to his injury. But it would be interesting. But I don't expect it a win. I think a big return is possible, though.
There you have it, folks, a little bit of preview of what you can expect from Jake's blog on Sunday. It probably should be up Sunday for his preview and predictions. Mine will be up as well, as will Jason Powell's, Will Pruitt's. I guess Ryan Kester is going to do one. I know that Jason has reached out to Marvin Hermenstein, former .NET contributor, to do his confidence blog that he does every year. A lot of people like that. So there'll be plenty of stuff to keep you going this entire weekend. And, of course, Jason Powell and I will have double coverage Sunday night of the Royal Rumble, as it starts 6:30 Central Time, 7:30 Central on the YouTube show, and leading into the 7 Central, 8 Eastern Time start of the Royal Rumble. And we will have that audio review after the show, but that one, again, will only be for our members. So if you want to get access to that, plus watch the show on the ad-free version of the site, or follow along, I guess not watch the show, but follow along with us on the ad-free version, talk about it with the .NET members in the forum, and blog about it in the blog section, head on over to ProWrestling.net, click on the right-hand side of the page for the .NET members, sign up, and we will get you in there. Folks, we will see you back Sunday night. Jason Powell and I will be here for the audio review. Jake and I will be back next Saturday for another WWE SmackDown audio review. Until then, everyone, enjoy the Royal Rumble. I hope your predictions come true. We'll see you back Sunday night, and take care.